beer tonight.
Mm-hmm. Better than being in the dining hall, right? All right, I'm encouraging you guys all to amen. All right. So I have a lot of notes that I know that I'm not going to get to. So I'm just going to read some scriptures here tonight, discuss them. And about God's perfect timing. Someone made a promise if I got up and spoke tonight, they're going to sing tonight. So I just can't wait for main service. So you guys be ready for the crutches. All right. So I'm going to have Emma. She's going to go over and sit by the fan. Sister Lauren DeVries could not be here tonight due to...
She's on a phone. No, she's not.
So she's not here tonight. So I'm going to have Emma help us out. But some of you have ever heard about Mark 5. We've heard it so many times. There's so many different scriptures about Mark 5. One of the miracles from Jesus, verse 21. And you can kind of visualize this as we go along, that Jesus had been riding in a boat. And if you've ever studied about where he lived and where he grew up at, they transported a lot from close areas on a boat. And everyone lived along the water's edge there. And so I've studied a lot about that when I was in college. My professor, he just loved to talk about it, and so we studied a lot about the whole entire area. But it was a very highly congested area. A lot of people lived there. And so Jesus, you can imagine, he got off the boat, and a large crowd was waiting for him. He's famous. He's probably the most famous person at the time in that area. And people were just thronging about him. This was not 6 feet apart. This was elbow to elbow, touching side to side. There was no caution to the wind. Everyone now is so afraid to even shake hands. But this was side by side. They were gathering around him so much that he just stayed right there. He didn't even have to travel around. So can you imagine Brother Decker just getting out of his car at, you know, the hotel, and he doesn't even have to go to the church. He just stays right there. The people are there ready for him. They're receptive. And it's just kind of hard to visualize in our mind. There's nowhere we really go. I started working at a school, and I go down the halls, and it's just really elbow to elbow. You see the kids, it's kind of congested. And it's only half the kids, because only half the school is there right now. So I can kind of visualize if Jesus is trying to walk up that, and that's what was happening. So I'm going to kind of just take the mic here and walk over here to this doorway over here. Just momentarily here. So over here, where he's got Jesus, he's got a crowd here with him. And while he's here, I'm going to have Lucas come running up. And Lucas is my friend. His name is Jairus. And so he comes running up. You can about imagine his daughter is sitting over there. She's 12 years old. His daughter's 12. She's suffering really mightily. And he falls down at my feet. You know, there's people everywhere. Just kind of imagine I'm Jesus. And I'm like just talking to everybody. Hey, you know, fist bumping, shaking hands, talking, whatever they do in big crowds. And this guy comes up, Jairus, and he's well known. He's a church official, a synagogue official. And he falls at my feet and he begs. He starts begging. Don't do that. He's begging. And he says, please come, please come, please come. Can you imagine going into the doctor's office and there's just people there that are sick, emergency room? Everyone's got a problem, right? Nobody's there just to, hey, it's Tuesday, I want to hang out. They go there because they got a problem. You come rushing in, you're like, drop everyone else's problems. My problem's bigger, right? And that's what Jairus was doing. My problem's big. My daughter is at home. She's dying. She's this close to dying. And so we find that Jesus is like, okay, I see you're serious. Get up. And he starts going with him. And he asks him to lay hands on him. So he knows Jesus is famous enough that Jairus has got the point. If he can just lay hands, he's going to be healed. And this crowd has just got to be so enormous and like, yeah, hey, good to see you. And then just kind of creeping along. And we can almost simultaneously, he knows something happened. What happened? Another story happened. And while he's doing there, what was that? There's a lady who'd been hemorrhaging for, thinking about this, I've got to get the age right. She'd been hemorrhaging. She'd been bleeding for, what, 14 years?
12.
She's 12 years. 12 years. There she are. She'd been bleeding for 12 years, hemorrhaging nonstop. She'd spent everything, every single thing that she had. And if you've ever had to deal with medical doctors, know it's expensive to go and see the doctor. Now she is back here behind me. I'm following him. She's back here. She's touched the hem of my garment. I can just feel that something has happened. Something's changed. This lady knows if she could just touch Jesus, she spent everything that she had, and immediately her flow of blood ceased. All them years, she's had this problem. And I don't know about you or me tonight. Some of you have had things that you've had for problems for a long time, and it just seems overwhelming. It just seems like it never wants to go away. You think you got it figured out, that some doctor's got it figured out, he's got a solution for it, and it comes back. I have a mild case of eczema on my whole entire left arm, and it's like flared up around my eyes this week. I don't know if you guys can tell, but my eyes are really, really red. And I've had this my whole entire life. It's not that serious. I'm going to the doctor and spending everything I have. But it would be nice to be healed up of it. But I can imagine this lady, she's just dealt with this forever. And I've read where people who have ailments, you often refer to them as the person with, you know, the lady with the hump on her back, or the man with the knot on his forehead. You've often referred to that. You know the guy that crippled and hobbles along. And so this lady had no doubt probably been referred to as the lady with the hemorrhage, the issue of blood. And he turns around and he said, Who touched my clothes? And immediately he said, you're made well. And so people continued to push against him, but that one was something special. So we find that we follow Jairus over. And I picked him just because. Oh, yeah, hey, wait, Jairus. I take someone with me. I take my disciple, Brother DeVries and the two boys here, Evan and Isaac and Noah. There's three of them here. Guys, come up here with us. So this crowd now has had to kind of probably follow along for a while. But I got the disciples. I got Peter, James, and John. And I know this seems odd, but Jesus didn't want anyone to come with him. He is going to come. I mean, he already knows he's got a miracle happening over here. And you know, the crowd's coming around, and someone comes running up. And you know, the whole time, Jairus is pulling on my arm, Jesus' arm. And he said, forget it, Jairus. Stop it. You don't need to come anymore. Quit bothering Jesus. Let him get back to the crowd. Your daughter's died. How sad that would be. Jairus finally got the solution. He finally got to Jesus. It was too late. And Jesus kind of overheard, hey, what was that? Oh, she's dying. He's like, don't worry about it. You know, we'll get to it later. We'll get her. And he continues on. Your daughter has died. Why bother Jesus any longer? And overhearing it, he said, do not be afraid. Keep believing. So we continue on. I got Peter, James, and John, and Jairus, and we're heading over. And boy, we get here, and she's not doing well. In fact, she's died, right? You can't really tell. And I'm standing over here with the speaker. And there's a whole crowd of people here, and they're weeping and wailing. And it says here, they're loudly weeping and wailing and mourning. I don't know if you've ever been to a funeral for someone who's really young. It's really sad. There's a lot of heartbroken teenagers. Friends, family, mom's upset, dad's upset. Jairus, I'm sure he's just about beside himself. Here he went all that way over there and then brought him back to his house and she's dead. Do not be afraid, keep believing. And he allowed no one to go with him except for Peter, James, and John. And they came to the house and he looked upon him with understanding. An uproar of the commotion as people were crying and weeping and wailing. And he said, why are you guys making all this commotion? She's not dead. She's alive. And when he said that, all the people in the house started laughing, snickering. Except for Peter, James, and John. The crowd. The crowd. There's a big crowd in here. And he sent them out. He sent them out. Jesus said, go ahead, go on out. Except for Peter, James, and John. You three are Peter, James, and John, and Jairus. And Mom. And Mom would go and take Mom in here. And taking the child's hand, he said, Talitha, come. Which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. And the little girl immediately got up and began to walk, for she was 12 years old. And he said, and this is really important. What did Jesus say when he gets there? He did this multiple times that he had created a miracle. He said, give her something to eat. And don't tell anyone about this. Mom, Dad, Peter, James, and John, stop. Don't tell anyone else about it. Well, a little girl goes out of the house, and I'm going to guess there's a lot of people in there. They knew all about it. You guys can go sit down. Mm-hmm. Appreciate that. But you can see how there was two miracles happening almost simultaneously in this scripture. And I'll do this real quickly. There was the healing of Jairus' daughter, and there was the healing of the woman with the issue of blood. And why is that so important? They happened almost immediately. I mean, there was some time to travel to Jairus' house. The one lady with the issue of blood had been waiting 12 years for her answer her prayer. Jairus, he was very fervent. He was serious. Because sometimes there's going to be some situations in our life that's going to be serious and need some serious attention to it. And I'm sure the lady with the issue of blood, every time she had a problem, it was a serious issue. And sometimes things seem like they delay Jesus. So Jesus could have quickly gone to Jairus' house and maybe got there before she died. But there was a reason why Jesus did not get there immediately. He wanted to wait until she had died. He knew it was coming. And sometimes in our situation, our trial, there's a reason why God wants us to wait a little bit. I know maybe some of you are praying for a certain item, car, house, job, wife, friend, husband, and it's not time for yet for it. God knows it's not time for it, because if you get it right now, it's not, you're not ready for it. There's something better coming. There's something ready. And His perfect will, His perfect understanding, it's not the right time. God will do the right thing at the right time. He probably didn't even have to travel to Jairus' house. He could have healed him right then and there from the water's edge. We know that Jairus never left Jesus the entire time. Even though the situation was bad, it looked hopeless, he stayed right with Jesus. And sometimes there's going to be some situations where it's going to be constantly, going to be constantly praying, God, just help the situation. Just stay right on it. I talked about jobs, your finances, answers to questions. Some of you are probably going to have problems with finances one of these days. You're going to ask the Lord to help you. And sometimes He's going to come right there and you're going to be able to pay the bill. And sometimes you're going to have to work through it. It's going to take some time. It's going to take, hopefully not 12 years like the lady with the issue of blood, but it's going to take some time. Be patient. I think about Joseph down there in prison. He probably thought, what in the world am I doing here in prison? And he prayed and asked the Lord to get him out of jail. But God had a plan. And that's one of the most awesome stories about seeing the layout. Now that we can see it, how God's plan was for Joseph's life. I've talked about Joseph many times. Just think about, take out Joseph's name and put your name in there and say, boy, when I'm dead and gone, everybody's going to look at me and say, wow, look at the story of their life, how it just worked out perfectly. Anybody want to go down to prison, think I'm nuts. But God had a plan for Joseph, and it just came out beautifully. He came out with the second in command in Egypt. Just quickly, a couple items before we finish. Where did she meet Jesus? She didn't go to the church. She didn't meet Him at the house of worship. She didn't meet Him at the altar. She met Him out in the crowd. And sometimes you and I may be in a busy school, in a busy place of work, a busy restaurant, and you just have to turn to the Lord and say, Lord, I need You right now. I've been dealing with this for 12 years. I've been dealing with this for a long time. Instantly, I need to touch You right now. Jesus wasn't even like looking at her. He wasn't even in an audience with her. But she got a hold of him right then and there. She touched him with her faith. Oftentimes, people can be in a throng. They can be in a large crowd. They're like, just like that big crowd was pressing against Jesus. So many people could have got help, but only one person that we read of did. All the other people were just there. They didn't receive the help that they could have received. Never assume that God's seemingly lack of interest, of activity, anything changing, is not a lack of concern on his part. He cares about every little thing in detail in your life. He's involved in every aspect of it. And sometimes his answer is going to be yes, and it's going to be no, and sometimes it's going to be wait. So he's our Heavenly Father. We never want to do anything that is not in our best interest. In every case, we must trust him to do what is best, even though we fully understand him. And I've got a list of things of how we can touch him for ourselves. I won't read them all. I just want to kind of go over five of them real quick. You can give God a chance. Take your problem to him. If he doesn't know about the problem, he's not going to answer. He's not going to solve the problem. Same way with your parents. If they don't know that you need $20 to go to Arby's tonight, they're not going to just say, hey, why don't you take $20 to go to Arby's? You have to ask them, right? The same way with God. You have to ask him. You've got to believe that he's going to hear you. I have an idea that that woman believed as soon as she touched Jesus, there was going to be a difference. There was going to be a change. She'd been waiting all her life to get to him, and finally she did. So we have to have the faith that we can touch and get a hold of him. Be willing to wait patiently for the Lord. That's the hardest thing. It's just being patient. I have a 2-year-old son, and I'll tell him to sit down in the chair. I'm going to go in this room, and I'll be right back. Before I even leave the room, he's up and hopping around, running around. He can't sit still. And guess what? That's the same way that we are sometime tonight. Sometimes we say, Lord, I'm going to be right here. I'm going to ask you to help me in the situation. You see how I need something to eat right now. I need something with this situation. Like, you get done praying and you go get something. Like, wait a minute. You're trying to solve the problem, but you just ask God for the solution. And so that's what it is like with my son. He hasn't matured yet. And sometimes that is the same way spiritually. Myself, I ask God for guidance and help. And then you try to take matters in your own hand. But be patient. Wait upon the Lord. God is never in a hurry. And reach out and touch him. Trust him. Don't just bump into Jesus. Don't just be the throng that was there. Don't try to shake his hand. Really get a hold of him. Touch him. Wow. Chris Miller is serious about this situation. And when God speaks to you, when you do feel like it's his direction, do what he tells you. Sometimes he's going to say things to you that, oh boy, I don't know about that. But when he directs you something, step out and do what he tells you. This message of this miracle is a couple of them. One was the woman at the end of her rope. She had the courage to step out, and she touched the Lord of